This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. Dominance displays, posturing, submissive behavior sound like anything you've seen at the office? Psychologist Meredith Fuller specializes in a certain subset of these behaviors, usually but not limited to women. Behaviors I think we all know rather well. Cattiness, dismissive, snide remarks, clicks and talking behind people's backs. Most of us associate this kind of stuff with high school, but it doesn't end there. It can make your life miserable at work. Fuller's written a new book about this with the eye-catching title of Working with Bitches. She joins us now from Melbourne, Australia. And Meredith, it's great to have you with us.
Hi, great to be here.
Let's talk about your title first, Working with Bitches. It's certainly provocative, but bitch is such a loaded word. Why did you go with that?
Two reasons. One is, everybody knows what you mean when you say, I work with a bitch. So it's a universal word. The other one is that the new bitch is almost a bit of fun. It's like being a bitch can be a positive thing. So it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because I'm always skeptical when I hear the word bitch applied in a work context, because it often turns out to refer to a woman who is aggressive and blunt and tough, which are all behaviors that the workplace rewards in men. You know, a tough man would never be called a bitch, but a tough woman gets slapped with that label.
And there's nothing wrong with being very assertive, but I wrote the book for more polite, concerned, earnest women who can't give it back and need a way to deal with the sort of behaviours that are more manipulative and cunning than just being very assertive.
Will you identify different personality types that come under this heading of exhibiting underhanded, passive-aggressive, or even aggressive-aggressive undermining behavior? Stuff you can't really codify in the company handbook. And one interesting type I think we can all relate to, you identify as the excluder. What is an excluder like?
Okay, her idea is, if you can help me, I'll bother looking at you. If you're no good to me, I'll ignore you. Or if I want to get rid of you, I'll ignore you. You're just invisible. They don't look at you. They don't pass messages on, but they're very cunning. They don't do it in front of their bosses. So if you complain, it looks as though you might be a little bit paranoid or a little bit too sensitive, and yet they're derailing your career.
I'm thinking Devil Wears Prada.
Yep, absolutely.
I couldn't have been clearer. There you are, Emily. How many times do I have to scream your name?
Actually, it's Andy. My name is Andy. Andrea, but everybody calls me Andy.
I need 10 or 15 skirts from Calvin Klein.
Okay, what kind of skirts do you...
Please bore someone else with your questions.
Nobody does snide like Meryl Streep. But Meredith, what do you do about an excluder?
Well, the joke is normally when someone tries to exclude us, we chase after them. The more we smile, the more we try and engage them in conversation, the more nice we are, do you know, the worse they are. They are contemptuous no matter what you do. The trick is to ignore them as well, which is the last thing we think of.
Well, what if they're your boss?
Well, when they're your boss, what you need to work out is what makes them contemptuous. So either they're jealous or they're envious, they see you as a threat. But the other one is, if they don't see you're valuable, make sure a more senior person in the organisation deems you valuable.
It really seems as if in most of these behaviours, low self-esteem lies at the heart of it.
So right, Barb. The other thing that happens is, for a lot of us, we've got fears, anxieties, depressions, worries, and we mask that. So a lot of the bitchy behaviour is because they don't know how to feel good enough. And so they're relying on these overt behaviours, but there's always something they want. So, for example, that micromanaging boss who's always saying, this isn't good enough, do it again, slashing with the red pen. Often it's their anxiety and they feel they're going to mess up. They look at you, and if you're not very neat, that just screams terror for them that something will go wrong, and they're worried that they're not in control. The more they feel in control, the less they have to hassle you. So give them those updates before they ask. Make your desk look neat every time they go past, and that helps bring down their anxiety.
Is part of the issue with women in the workplace this tendency to think something along the lines of, oh, why can't we all just get along? You know, that women want to be liked perhaps more than men at work.
And for some men and women, that's true. But we've got mixed motivations, and I think that's what we pick up. And what we notice is that historically women have found they needed to be more sly, surreptitious, cunning, manipulative, and that's what they've been rewarded for. So
right, and been penalized for being forthright.
Exactly. And what I really like, a lot of the young people we're getting through, the more Gen Ys, they're actually saying, oh, blow all of this. Let me be who I am. And part of me is a range of behaviours. And that also allows men to have their range of behaviours. So I'm seeing a massive paradigm shift that's starting to occur, where a lot of these old rigid structures are starting to be broken down. But we're still betwixt and between. So it's a very hard time at the moment with what's going on at work, because some of us aren't too sure what's happening.
Well, how do men exhibit these alienating behaviors like lying or narcissism or exclusion differently from women? Because, of course, we all do this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. It's whether you're overt or covert. Men are more overt and do it very clearly and plainly. Now, if you catch them out, they'll just keep doing it overtly like it's a game and it's funny. And then at the end of the meeting or the end of the day, it's dropped because it was a game and it's very out there. With the women, they're more selective and they're more able to play it so subtly with, you know, subtle little mutters and murmuring and nonverbal behaviour that a lot of the men don't necessarily engage in. You know, it's more like it is what it is with a lot of men.
Meredith Fuller, the book is Working with Bitches. Meredith, thanks for this.
Oh, that's a great pleasure.
Do you work with an excluder, narcissist, or a liar? Those are three of the eight unsavory workplace types Meredith identifies. And you can find the others and also get some ideas on what you can do about them at marketplacemoney.org.